Welcome to New Hope Online. So glad you guys are back with us today. I know I don't have to be the first to tell you that we are in a time with so much is unknown, so much uncertainty, so many questions that we just don't have the answers for. I've got a couple kids in my home, and one of the questions that keeps getting asked over and over is, what about the rest of school? And what about sports? They're both athletes and enjoy playing, but they're in a time where there's no answers for when the season might happen or might be late or not happen at all. I know that my wife works in a hospital, and you know, one of the questions that can't be answered is the what if. The number of cases rises so much that there's not room for everybody that needs to be treated. I've got a retirement, and I hate to even think of where that is at right now, but in thinking of the economy, how low is it going to go? How far might it come back? That nobody knows. Unanswered questions. Small businesses in our area, how long are they going to have to stay closed? How much of an impact is this going to have on their well-being and their future? When will life get back to normal? You almost have to just do that because we don't know. Normal has been changed. Going to groceries, getting groceries is different. School, different. Sports, different. Eating out, shopping, so much is just different. And I think that's really important to think about and to just, I think, recognize because, you know, when so much changes so quickly, it's hard to handle. It's so hard. We grieve. We get frustrated. We're just anxious, stressed. We worry. There's fear about the future. So much is up in the air. And as I was thinking about that topic and how to address that for today, I thought of the Gospel of Mark. And to be honest, I went to the Gospel of Mark because in our Lenten devotional that the church is using during the season of Lent, Mark chapter 10 was the chapter that we were looking at this week. And in that chapter, there's a place where Jesus and the disciples are going towards Jerusalem. And I want to read that passage. It's pretty short, Mark chapter 10. I invite you to follow along if you want. Mark writes of the story this way. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We're going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. I love that little piece in the story. What you may not know about that part of the story is that Jesus is leading the disciples to Jerusalem, the place where he's going to be crucified and died and buried. But they've been with him for about 3 years. And during that time, he's been teaching about the kingdom of God and his identity. He has been working miracles. People have been healed, raised from the dead. It's been a tremendous and amazing season. And the disciples have been holding on to this hope that they would have a prosperous future because they were banking that the Messiah, God's King of his kingdom, would come and he would kick out the Romans from Jerusalem, and they would have peace in the land. They wanted political and religious freedom. But the way that Jesus had been teaching and what he was laying in front of them was not registering too well with what they were hoping was going to happen. And so they're sitting at a time where they've got a lot of questions. And to me, it feels like they're hoping for one thing, but reality is starting to look a little differently for them. Because you got Jesus who's been talking about death. In fact, this is in this passage is the fourth time that Jesus has told them that he's going to die and they'll be raised from the dead. And in the midst of all that, they're thinking of a reigning king. So presents questions and uncertainty. How's this going to play out? And, you know, Jesus has been alluding at this moment, and as he's been talking to them about his death, a death that would be a crucifixion. And we kind of see that because, you know, in that culture, in that time, the Romans tended to crucify people who were not Romans. And of course, Jesus is not a Roman. And so they're aware of this. And so there's this sort of leading of this idea that he's going to die by crucifixion. But yet they're thinking of him having a crown as a king. So they're thinking a crown, and he's thinking a crown of thorns. When I think about it like that, for me, it helps to kind of explain why perhaps they have so much fear about their future. As they're standing in that moment, as they're going with Jesus to Jerusalem. Because you got to look at it. They're on a journey to a destination that they don't understand, is unknown to them, and they have more questions than answers. To me, it feels like we're doing life right now with a big question mark in front of us. Sometimes those moments hit us in life, and it's challenging. And I think this season is maybe one of the most challenging for our whole community and our nation and the world. And it prompts a question. So I want to ask that question. Where can you focus when you're faced with so much unknown? I think Jesus gives us an idea. And I love the way he handles their unknown and their uncertainty and all their questions that they're wrestling with. Jesus redirects them. What he does is he has them to focus on the known in the midst of the unknown. In other words, he wants them to focus on what they know to be true amid all they don't know and all they don't understand. For us, we can think of it this way. Focus on Christ amid the crisis. Focus on what we know about Christ amid the crisis with so much that we can't understand and can't control right now. I love, too, the way that Jesus does this. It makes me think of a good friend. Because I think it's like a compassionate friend. When their friend is struggling with anxiety and stress and fear and worry and so much they can't control, that compassionate friend comes alongside them and helps them to refocus on what is true and what they can know. They can know that they're loved. They can know that they're not alone. They can know that they have folks who are going to come alongside them, such as yourself as their friend, during a time such as this. You're going to help them out. That it's not over. It's not done. There's still hope. And I make that connection because when Jesus speaks to the disciples, to me, I hear him saying, I'm the Son of Man, which to them meant, I am the Messiah, and I have come from God. God is not oblivious to this moment. God is in this moment with you, and God is working in this moment. And I feel like that's where he directs them when he says, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to die, but then I'm also going to be raised from the dead in 3 days. Don't overlook that what he told them was what they'd already been told. All Jesus did, well, not all, but part of what Jesus did was point them back to what had already been established as the true word of God. Because you can go back to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53. It's there we read of the suffering servant that's pointing to this death that Jesus would endure on our behalf. And you can go back and read of the prophets, but also read of Jesus as well, having already told them before that he's going to be raised from the dead. And in that, we know that he claims victory over death and the grave. Jesus redirects them to what they already have been told was true. Please don't overlook that. I think that's a powerful part of this story. Redirecting them. This hits with me so powerfully because Jesus focuses them on what they can know amid all they don't know. Even though they have questions they can't answer, and they're worrying, and there's a lot of fear that's building up with them, and that passage tells us that some of them were afraid, that even in the midst of all of that, Jesus knows we don't have all the answers, and there are things we can't know. And he says, listen to what you can know. That's powerful, because Jesus gives them an anchor of truth to use in the midst of the waves and the wind of uncertainty and the events that are going to be unfolding ahead of them that they can't control. They can't stop it. They can't make it go away. They needed an anchor. As I was growing up as a kid and a teenager, my dad and I used to go fishing. And when we would go, we had a small boat that we would take out on different lakes. And it didn't take much wind to blow that small boat off course. We would find a great fishing spot. We would be catching fish. And then that wind would blow. And then we'd be drifting across the pond or the lake and be frustrated because we weren't where we were supposed to be and where we needed to be and we wanted to be. And we were missing out. And we would get so frustrated. And so we would get ourselves back to that sweet spot where we were catching fish. And it taught me the importance of having an anchor. So simple, but so important and so powerful. Maybe you've had that kind of experience before. And what I've learned is that you can have a fancy anchor, or you can have a coffee can filled with cement. It doesn't matter. They'll both do the same job. They'll both grab the ground under the water, under the waves, where you probably can't see. And even though that wind is blowing and the water's kind of rippling, it can come at you and it can try to move you, but that anchor just holds you right in place. Are you feeling like your life has been turned upside down and the winds of change and uncertainty are just blowing all around because of what's happening in our society and around the world and even in our own community? Is anxiety and stress or worry and fear feel like they're trying to get a foothold in your heart and in your mind right now? Because there is so much that you just don't know. So much that you can't control, even though you try to control the things that you can. And I believe that is wisdom to do the best practices in a time such as this. But there is truly so much we can't do and can't know and change. But I will tell you this today. I firmly believe that when our anchor is Christ and in the truth of His good news, we believe in Him and believe in that good news, God grants us peace in the storm. And it's a peace the world can't give. Jesus says it this way. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." See, if the world was trying to give us that kind of peace, we'd have cause to question. Because there isn't anything that the world gives that doesn't come and go and be great in one moment and less later or just go away. Everything on earth has its season, but what comes from God lasts forever. It's a divine gift from the one true God, who is the creator and the overseer of all of life, who is our ever-present help in times of danger, who is unchanging, who's always aware of what we may be lacking in this life, and He's able to see us right through it, all the way into eternal life with Him. That's the good news. That's a truth that's not impacted by any crisis. The message of the cross doesn't change with a crisis. It's unchanging, and it's steadfast. And it's that promise of eternal life that's in the cross because of Jesus that gives us hope, that grounds us through the crisis. He may not take it away and make it stop, but He can carry us through the crisis with peace. I believe He's able to do that. It makes me think of a story in John chapter 11. Perhaps you know it. It's the story of when Lazarus, who was a good friend of Jesus, had died, and his sisters Mary and Martha had sent for Jesus ahead of time because they wanted Him to come. They felt that Jesus could heal Lazarus, could keep him from dying. And so as they send for Him, Jesus gets the message, but Jesus doesn't choose to come right away. And eventually Lazarus dies, and then Jesus arrives at the house, and Martha comes out to meet Him. And Martha is fit to be tied. She gives she gives Jesus a what for, if you will. And in that moment, Jesus, if you read the story, Jesus does not answer the unknown, the questions for her. Why didn't you come? Because all of this could have been circumvented. It all could have been stopped. If you just had intervened, because we believe that you can and you could have. Why didn't you do something when you could have? And Jesus doesn't answer that prompting that she's bringing Him. But He turns to what she can know about Him and the good news in the midst of what she doesn't understand. In John 11, verse 25, here's what Jesus says to her. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in Me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in Me will never die. And then He asks her this important question. Do you believe this? I want to pose that question to you this morning. Do you believe this? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in His words and in His works? Do you believe that He was crucified for our sins and was raised from the dead so that we could live life with peace and hope and joy and love and know eternal life? Do you believe? It's an important question in a time such as this. Let me go back to the disciples for a moment. Jesus, He knows what they're going through. He knows their struggles. He knows that they're hurting. He knows that they're wondering. And He chooses to not answer their unknown, but to refocus them on to the truth of who He is and what He's going to do. And I believe that that same thing He did for them, He's doing for us. He's inviting us to know this good news. And all amid all the unknowns and all the uncertainties that are in our world and in our community. And so if you're feeling overwhelmed with life, can I invite you to focus on what you can know in the midst of the unknown? I believe that we can know this. We can know that God loves us. Absolutely. For God so loved the world, right? John 3:16. We can know that God has saved us through our faith in Jesus Christ. We can know that Jesus has ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, which means that He reigns over God's kingdom. And there's no threat to His kingdom in any way. And that also means that we can know that God will see us through all this chaos and that we will live forever with Him through our faith in Christ. And wherever you stand today, I want to ask you, would you consider that truth? Would you anchor yourself in that truth amid all the wind and the waves of all the stuff that is unknown and uncertain and we can't answer and we're left hanging, waiting? Would you let that truth hold you in peace and protect you from despair and fear? I believe that if you'll hold on to Jesus, let Him be your anchor. He'll hold you through the storm. He'll hold you in place because He loves you. And at New Hope, if you'd like us to come alongside you in this time, we'd love to do that too. We firmly believe that God loves us all. And our job of the church is to come alongside people and do life together in the name of Jesus. And that we would grow in love and in our faith and be with each other during all seasons of life. We're here for you. May the Lord bless you as you go forth. And know that you can know the truth and have peace amidst all the chaos of the unknown. And that peace is in Jesus. Amen.